So this summer we've dived into the book of Jonah, and we found a few things out about Jonah that we may have not thought about before, like it's much more than just a children's story. It's much more than just a Sunday school story. It's bigger than just a whale. It's a story about a man and God and people. It's a story about a real person named Jonah who was a prophet to Israel, who some might say was reluctant and others might say he's a man of great faith. But he tried to run from God. He tried to run from the presence of God. And we learned some things through this story that sometimes God sends the storm in order to grab our attention because we've gotten off course. We learned through this story that God never gives up on us. We've learned through this story that God doesn't want to destroy Nineveh on account of their greatness. He wants to save them on account of his greatness. And so this morning we're going to look at the final chapter as the story unfolds for us here. See, as we got to the end of last week's session, we learned that Jonah, either happily or reluctantly, we don't know, went to Nineveh and he preached God's message to the city of Nineveh. And we were told the entire city of Nineveh repented of their sin, from the lowest in the city to the king of the nation. We're told in this chapter 120,000 people repented and were saved. And that's where the story leaves off. So we pick it up in chapter 4, and we'll look at the first couple of verses right now. We'll break this down as we go through it. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." So this story unfolds here, and Jonah's unhappy because Nineveh is saved. He's unhappy because his enemy is not destroyed. And so Jonah is displeased with everything. He's displeased with himself. He's displeased with Nineveh. He's displeased with God. He's just displeased. He's miserable. Now, you have to understand what's happened here. This should be the moment of Jonah's triumph. This should be the moment of great excitement in this man's life. He just preached to a city of 120,000 people, and every person got saved. He's probably had the greatest city revival that this world has ever seen. And instead of rejoicing, he's displeased. In fact, we're told he's angry. Here's a man who should be able to go to some location in the city and say to the people, "Come, I will teach you about the God who loves you. Come, I will show you who the Father is." But that's not what he does. He takes off. He goes into this self-pity. He goes into this place of loathing himself. You know why? Because his heart is not right. He's not happy that his enemy is saved. He's not happy that the people who were his enemy have changed their lives and called on his God, and his God has rescued them. Jonah is not happy with this. And sometimes we have to ask ourselves, are we ever uncomfortable when others get saved? Are we ever uncomfortable when we see somebody who walks into church who just doesn't look like us? Someone who doesn't act like us. Someone, you look at them and you wonder, like, are they even safe to talk to? Like, how do we feel? Sometimes do we have a little bit of that Jonah syndrome inside of us? Where we become uncomfortable because, well, they're not like me and they're different and they come from a rough background and they're not, you know, they're not church people. Really? Who's church people? Really? Sometimes are we a little bit uncomfortable deep inside? I mean, we would never say it out loud. I mean, we know better. We put on our mask and we smile and everything's great. But are you a little bit uncomfortable? Are you going to be a little bit uncomfortable to come to church next Sunday? Because somebody might be in your seat? Are you a little bit uncomfortable next Sunday because it's not about you, but it's about them? Do we get a little bit of Jonah inside of us? Think about it. In these verses, we have a great revelation of Jonah's faith. If you remember in week one, I said Jonah is either the worst prophet or the prophet with the greatest faith. And he's both in one. And in verse 2 and 3, we get a glimpse as Jonah is talking to God. And I'm going to paraphrase those verses for you. These verses have appeared every week of this series, if you've noticed. And Jonah is, we're getting a flashback. Verse 2 and 3 is a flashback because Jonah says, God, this is what I told you when you called me. You know, before the story starts and God calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah here is reflecting back to that night of that call or that day of that call. And he says, Lord, this is what I told you about. I told you that if I preached repentance, I told you those people would believe. I told you. I told you. God, I told you so. Ever tell God I told you so? Come on, we all have. And he says, God, I told you that you're just such a great God. You're abounding in love. You're gracious. I know. I just knew it, God. That if I preached gospel to those people who are those people, ever call them those people? There's a problem when we call them those people. We're putting a barrier, those people. God, I told you that if I preach to those people, that you are abounding in love and great in mercy, gracious. I just told you. I knew it, God, that if I preached your word to them, the people I hate would get saved, and I knew that you would save them. And God, I'm not happy with that. And so, God, I'd be better off dead than alive. Does Jonah really want to die? Nah. He's in that mood that, God, pick me or them. Me or them, God. I'm just better off dead. You see, Jonah is bitter. He's bitter. He's bitter because he's disappointed. He's disappointed that Nineveh's got saved. He's disappointed that God saved his enemy. He's disappointed and he's bitter. He's self-centered. It's all about me. If you read verses 2 and 3 and you go through it, Jonah says, I or me at least 6 times in 2 sentences. It's all about me. I feel this. I want this. I told you this. This is how I feel. Jonah's only concerned about himself. Is there anything in your life that has caused you to be bitter? Anything in your life that has caused you to be bitter? See, because bitterness is a result of unforgiveness. Bitterness is a result of unforgiveness. See, when you hang on to unforgiveness, It imprisons you. When you hold on to unforgiveness against somebody else, it chains you up. And that unforgiveness festers. And it becomes like a spiritual cancer. And it begins to erode who you are. And that unforgiveness, if left unchecked, turns into bitterness. And that bitterness begins to poison everything about your life. It begins to poison yourself. It begins to poison your relationship with God. It begins to poison your relationship with other people. And you just become a miserable soul. Miserable when you hold on to unforgiveness. That's why we are told so often in Scripture, we need to let go of unforgiveness. We need to learn what it is to forgive. And I'm going to tell you the honest truth. Sometimes it's impossible. You think it's impossible to forgive, but it's not. It is sometimes very difficult, but you can do it. Why? Because God said so. Why? Because God, by His Spirit, will empower you. Why? Because God, by His Word, will wash you out. That's why you need to read the Word continuously. That's why you need to have conversation with God continually. That's why you need to put your mind on the things of God. Because He washes our minds and He washes our spirits by His Word and by prayer and by corporate worship and by individual worship. See, because unforgiveness is a root that destroys, leads to bitterness. And that's where Jonah is. See, Jonah had a right theology. See, it's not only about our theology, and theology is important. And Jonah had a right theology. He understood God. He understood God's greatness. He understood God's capacity to forgive. He understood God is the God of mercy. He understood all those things. He's abounding in love. Jonah had a right view of God. He knew that God's forgiveness was vast and big and deep, and God could forgive anyone and everyone. Jonah knew that God did not want to destroy Nineveh. Jonah had a right theology, but he had a wrong spirit. See, the right theology with a wrong spirit is devastating. He had a wrong spirit. He was self-seeking. He didn't want to see his enemy saved. He didn't want to rejoice in the salvation of others. Jesus would tell us in the Gospels that the angels rejoice, that we should rejoice when someone gets saved. And Jonah led a revival where 120,000 people got saved, and he didn't have 1 ounce of rejoicing in him. He had a wrong spirit. He was selfish. God, do this for me. He wanted forgiveness. God, I ran away to Tarshish. Forgive me. God, I'm drowning in the sea. Save me. God, get me out of the belly of the whale. It was all about him. All about what he could get. All about what God could do for him. God, be loyal to me. I'm an Israelite. God, be loyal to me. I'm an Israelite. Don't destroy me. Save me. But destroy my enemy, don't save them. Verse 4 says this, and the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Don't you just hate when God speaks those words to us? Come on, let's be honest. Isn't it kind of unsettling when we pour our hearts out to God and God puts his finger on the problem and says, what about this? God, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about that. See, but God is gentle with Jonah. I mean, let's be honest. If Jonah was your prophet, you'd have hit him in the head with a rubber mallet by now. Let's be honest. But God is gentle with Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? I mean, Jonah, is it right? I mean, did you not disobey me? Did you not run away? Did you not find yourself in the middle of a storm? Did you not find yourself drowning in the sea? Did you not call out to me from the belly of the fish that I saved you with? Do you have a right to be angry? Jonah, look at everything I've done for you. You are my people. I chose you when I chose Abram. Jonah, I've sent you with messages to the people. Do you have a right to be angry? Now you and I sit here this morning and we realize that Jonah has no right to be angry. But Jonah is. You'll notice that Jonah doesn't attempt to answer God. Give him credit. He's not stupid enough to say, okay, I've got you here, God. I think sometimes we've all acted a little bit like Jonah. I think sometimes we've all done that. But God, what about them? But God, what about her? But God, what about him? And you almost always have the same answer. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about you. Haven't we all been a little bit like Jonah at some point or another? Where we're happy that God forgives us. We're happy that God brings us to restoration. We're happy that God is gracious to us. But that person that hurt me, God, you can't be nice to them. Like, God, I'm your favorite. Like, you can't be nice to them. We've all had a little bit of Jonah in us. We all have a tendency at times to be a little bit selfish. We want God to treat us better and different than anybody else. You see, our God is not anybody else. He is the God of heaven and earth. He is Yahweh, Jehovah. He is the one who speaks the world into being. He is the Almighty. He is the loving Father, the gracious Father, the understanding Father. The story continues in verse 5. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. Now this is a funny part of the story. Because Jonah's preached to the city, they've gotten saved, and instead of going home, he goes to the hills to the east of the city, and he sits down, and we're not quite sure why. I have my assumptions. I think he went there to sulk. He went there to say, woe is me, I'm better to die. He went there for a pity party, but he went there to see what would happen. There's no need for him to see what would happen. He knows what's going to happen. He knows in his heart and he knows in his head. His reason and his theology told him that Nineveh is spared. But his emotions and his pettiness drove him to sit outside the city and hope for destruction. You know, ever do that? You know what God said, but you believe for something else. You know what God's promised, but it didn't make you happy, so you'll try for something else. So Jonah goes and he sits outside the city and he makes a crude shelter, and we don't really know, but I'm assuming he had to cut some plants and leaves and kind of make a shelter because it's sunny and it's hot, and he's there and he's sitting in his self-pity in his awful man-made shelter that's probably not doing really good. And he's there and he's trying to argue with himself. Well, you know, if I can wait here 40 days, then maybe those people didn't really repent. You know, like maybe it was all just a show. Like maybe they didn't really mean it. You know, maybe if I sit here for 40 days, I'll get to see the largest fireworks the world has ever seen. As God just blows them up. He knows better. And as he sits there in self-pity, God sends a miracle. And God provided a plant. Now notice that word provided. It's the same word that's earlier in the story where it says God provided a great fish. God provided a plant or a vine. And this is a miraculous plant, a miraculous vine, because it grows up immediately and it covers him with great shelter. And here he is, sitting there watching Nineveh, and God provides a miraculous plant. God is showing kindness to Jonah. God is revealing his character to Jonah. And to us, that even in the times that we are bitter and angry with God, God does not drop us. See, in our human flesh, when somebody is bitter and angry towards us, the first thing we want to do is boot them far away. Right? Drop kick them. But God says, Jonah, 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 what am I going to do with you, Jonah? Fine. That shelter you made is useless. Let me show you what a shelter looks like. This vine just appears almost instantly, miraculously. And God says, I'll cover you with my mercy and my compassion. See, God comes to you when you're in need. He knows when you're in need, and he's able to provide exactly what you need. God comes to you in your need so that your heart will be turned towards him. God comes after you because he's not given up on you. We sing a song so often, he leaves the 99 to come after me. That song has appeared throughout these messages as well. Oh, the overwhelming love of God. He covers me with his compassion and his mercy. And for the first time we read in this story, Jonah is very happy. It's the only time in the story where we're told he's happy. And he's very happy. Why? Because God has breathed life into him, he feels. God is finally showing me some greatness and mercy. God is finally caring about me, not about those stupid Ninevites. And I think he slept wonderfully that night. Think about it. From being in the belly of a stinky fish to having God provide a vine to cover him. He sleeps well. Oh, sleep well, Jonah, sleep well, because morning comes. Morning is coming. Verse 7 says, but at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, I am so angry, I wish I were dead. So now God provided a worm. He provided the fish. He provided the vine. He provided the worm. And this miraculous worm kills that plant almost instantly. And as fast as it came, it disappeared. And then to make it worse, the Bible says God provided a scorching east wind. God, what are you doing? Like, this story makes no sense here. God, what are you doing to poor Jonah? You make him happy, you make him sad, you save him, you rescue him, you throw him in the sea. God, what are you doing? How is Jonah supposed to survive? I can understand Jonah. We can almost naturally understand Jonah. Oh, God, it's just better to die. You know, because nothing's going my way. My enemies live. My plant dies. Nothing makes sense. I'm your prophet. I'm the one you're supposed to love, not them. There it is again. Them. Those people. God, what are you doing? God is showing Jonah what really matters in life. See, Jonah's concerned with his desires. Jonah's concerned with the things that he likes. Jonah's concerned with his view of judgment. Jonah's concerned with his comfort and his salvation. But God is concerned with his desires. God is concerned that none should perish. God is concerned about the things that he cares about. God is not worried about our discomfort. God is more worried about the condition of our heart than the condition of our head. I mean the sun. And we sit here, and Jonah sat there, and we often utter these words, God, it's not fair. God, it's not fair that Nineveh saved. God, it's not fair that my plant died. God, it's not fair that I'm suffering. It's not fair. It's not fair that God had to send his one and only son to this world on my account. It's not fair that he who knew no sin took my sin upon him. It's not fair that my sin drove Jesus to the cross. It's not fair that Jesus had to shed his blood and suffer and die on my account. It's not fair. But God doesn't care about fair. God's not concerned about what you or I think is fair. God is not concerned about what Jonah thinks is fair. You need to understand, God is not looking for fair. God is looking for your heart. God is after your heart. He chases me down, fights till I'm found. He doesn't care about fair. If he cared about fair, we'd all be lost in hell. If he cared about fair, Jesus wouldn't have come. If he cared about fair, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross. If God cared about fair, we'd be lost in our sin. God is after our heart. God is more concerned about the health and the wellness of your heart than anything else. Your heart is what God is after the most. Your heart. So we're talking about fair, and you might not notice it or realize it, but Jesus loves you and died for you. And Jesus cares about you. So maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Dan, I've never considered what Jesus did for me. I never considered that he came to this world, that he died on a cross for me. He died because he loves you. Because if it was fair, we'd all be hopeless. But it's not fair. Because God's love is overwhelming for you. So I'm just asking everybody to just close their eyes for a moment. And there's nothing spiritual or sanctifying about this. It's just privacy. I'm going to say, if you're here this morning and you've never thought much about God's love for you, but today you understand that God loves you, it's not fair. You say, Pastor, I want to know God's love. I want to have forgiveness of my sin. I want to acknowledge who Jesus is and what Jesus did for me by dying for me. If that's you, would you just hold your hand up so I could see it? I want to pray with you or for you. There's two more verses to this story. Verse 10 and 11 say this. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals. In these verses, God is speaking to Jonah. He says, Jonah, you're selfish. You did not put a plant there. You did not plant it. You did not put a seed. You did not water. You did not tend to it. You did not care. You did not cause it to grow. You wanted to just reap in its benefit. Jonah, it came and it's gone. God says to Jonah, Jonah, look at your heart. You care more about the plant than you do the people who live in that city of Nineveh. Jonah, you care more about something that came and went in a day because it brought you something than you care for the people who live in that great city. God kind of put in parentheses, the people that I love. You care more about the plant than you do about them. You care more about a plant that comes and dies in a day than 120,000 people whose eternity hangs in the balance. Something else we see in this story. That God could get nature to obey him easy. The wind, the storm, the fish, the plant, the worm, the sun, the wind. All at his command because he is the creator. But you notice it's hard for man, who he also created, to obey him. And the reason is we are only able to obey God when we surrender to him. So that's what it takes. Because God gave us choice. God gave us will. We can choose to obey God. We can choose to ignore God. God's heart for us is we would obey him. But God is also speaking to us when he speaks to Jonah. God reminds us there are times we're more concerned about ourselves. We're more concerned about our own comfort than what God's desire is. Sometimes it feels like we become comfortable with just us. Just us is okay. Don't throw anybody else into my mix. God, don't send more people to my small group because, you know, I like just being us. God, don't send more people to our church. They're going to upset the apple cart. God, don't send those people to my church, those people, because they might take my seat. God, don't send those people to my church because I don't know what to say. I'm not comfortable. You're taking me out of my comfort zone, God. I got news for you. God wants to blow apart your comfort zone. Because your comfort zone is stopping you from accomplishing everything that God has for you. Your comfort zone is keeping you in a box instead of exposing you to the world that God has called you to be exposed to. Your comfort zone has become a crypt for you. Where God has desired for you to be full of life and share that life with the world. You see, we need to love God and love people. You see, we need to have God's heart for people. That's what God is saying to us in this story. That's what God is saying to Jonah on the hill. That's what God is saying to us at Highway Gospel this morning. That we need to have God's heart for people. That's what it was all about. God's heart for a city of people who were utterly detestable in the natural. They were. They were awful people. Go back to week one if you weren't here. But God loved them and sent his word to them. God loves the people around us. He is sending us with his word to them. Because God cares more about their eternal destiny than he does about your comfort zone. God wants us to have his heart for all the people. God, help us to see with your eyes. God, help us to see the lost around us. Maybe Dancing Mary has it right. pray for the lost, Pastor. Pray for the lost. God is sending you to the lost, just like he sent Jonah. And we need to have a heart for the people. Would you stand with me this morning? It just feels only appropriate that there's only one song to close this with. Reckless Love. Would you sing it? As you sing it, remember two things. This is what God's done for me. And this is what God wants to do for everybody else. There are no more them or those. There is us and there is we.